Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 13th, 2020. New beginnings. Three photos. Top, before being let into the building, a student gets some hand sanitizer from a teacher at Bowie Middle School Wednesday morning as phase one of the school reopening begins. School for the 2020-21 school year will begin in phases, with phase two beginning on August 26th. Left, saying goodbye to each other, 13-year-old A.J. Sabia looks back at his mother, Abby Rios, Wednesday morning, as he is led into the building for his first day at school. Right, students at Odessa High School line up outside as they wait to enter the school Wednesday morning during the first day of the school year. 2020 school days underway. ECISD kicks off with Emptier Buildings Virtual Classes by Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Ector County ISD students headed back to class today, but most of them did it virtually. The number of students on campus was much lower than normal for the inaugural day of the year. Superintendent Scott Murray and other district leaders visited various schools and found those on campus were excited to be there and glad to be back at work. Media went along to Downing Elementary and Permian High School. Access was limited due to the pandemic. School buildings had been closed since the beginning of March. Stacy Johnson, an executive director for leadership, said Wednesday morning that things had gone smoothly so far. She had started her day at several elementary schools, Milam, Travis, Zavala, and then to Downing. She had four or five more elementary campuses to get to and a middle school. Downing principal Marcus Lopez said in a text message that his campus had 776 students last year. Wednesday, they had 177 participate face-to-face and 312 virtually. I'm very impressed with all the campuses that I visited. The families, the students, the teachers, all the staff are doing just marvelous. They're working well together. It's just going to make for an even better experience for the students, Johnson said. Nobody's been calling saying there's a problem, so that's always a good sign, Johnson said. She added that there were some nerves Wednesday. Johnson said this is a new, unknown experience. You don't know what to expect. You don't know exactly how many kids are coming because some of the parents were confused about their registration. So we planned for lots. We had some great systems in place for the amount that we had coming in today, Johnson said. Christy Kennedy, a special education inclusion and resource teacher, said she is currently a jack of all trades. This is her 19th year with ECISD. Kennedy said the teachers were happy to see their students, whether it was online or in person. It was so wonderful to see those kids come in. As a teacher, we're here for the kids and we love the kids. To see these kids come in brought so much joy, Kennedy said. The kids seem eager to be in the room. They're eager to listen to their teacher. They're attentive. I see smiles on their faces. So it's just wonderful. It's heartwarming, she added. Murray said the first day was great and he was glad to see the plans the district put in place for working. We had a team of many folks that have spent hundreds, if not thousands, of hours designing the opening of school, and today is the execution of all the planning that has gone on, Murray said. He added that they didn't know what would happen until the actual first day, though. I would say that my expectations were surpassed today, Murray said. He visited one elementary school where a teacher had five kids live and was teaching online, and that was in the first hour. I didn't expect to see that level of learning happening within the first hour at an elementary school, but that is great planning on the part of our teachers to make sure things are happening, Murray said. As for transportation, He said there weren't a lot of students riding the buses. In fact, we had several buses that ran their route and didn't pick up any children. Other buses that were full, it's the new definition of full, one kid in a seat. That went well. Breakfast and lunch were delivered to the classrooms. Murray said it was important to him to see the first day because students are the core business of the district. We've spent, in this case, all summer, really all spring, getting ready for opening day. Even without a pandemic situation, the summer is spent making tweaks and adjustments to our plans. But this year, we've had to really scrap the way we've done school in the past and create a whole new way. Normally, on the first day of school, for me as a superintendent, it's exciting to ride a bus with kids, but I see very similar things. Excited kids, excited teachers. Last night, August 11th, for me, it was like a kid the day before your birthday. Anticipation and excitement and a sleepless night. So today, I got to see the reality of all this work. It was exciting. I wanted to be a part of the excitement and then provide support to teachers and principals and anybody that needed that. Asked whether the district would provide COVID-19 testing, Murray said ECISD has talked to the medical community, and the guidance they are getting now is that the type of equipment they would have access to is not necessarily reliable. The last thing we would want to do would be to test a student or a staff member and then give them bad information. We are relying on the City of Odessa, the Health Department, and other medical communities to provide those testing experiences for our kids. That's where we are today. That could change in the coming weeks and months, Murray said. If any staff member is concerned about their own personal safety or has a question, they should talk to their supervisor. Top ECISD officials will have a meeting at 4 p.m. for the first 10 days of school to gather information and feedback to see what needs to be changed, what's working and what's not. Murray acknowledged that some educators have tested positive for COVID-19 since they returned to work last week. We're not really worried, but we're aware, he said. We have really good plans in place. COVID certainly exists at a level in our community that we do not want. However, the good news is that all three metrics that we monitor are on the decline, so that's very positive for us, but we have good preventative measures in place. Murray said the district is being as proactive as it can to keep COVID out of the schools. We've developed protocols if anyone tests positive. We look at a variety of metrics. First and foremost, safety and health. Understanding the positivity rate in our community and what's happening. Is it trending up? Is it trending down? Looking at the hospitalization, how many patients are currently in our hospitals? What is their capacity? We've seen that steadily decline over the last several weeks. And then we look at the actual number of positive cases. How many individuals are testing positive in our community? All three of those data elements are trending in the right direction. None of them are where we would like them to be ultimately, but we're heading in the right direction, he said. That gave us the green light to go, but slowly. Today is phase one. As you know, we've extended phase one for a two-week period of time. We have small numbers of students in our building today, Murray said. He added that this gives the district a chance to slowly step its way into the year. Murray said the district is prepared to step back if it needs to. There are four phases to the opening of school, but if necessary, they can roll those back as appropriate. About 50% of families opted for virtual instruction and 50% face-to-face. Phase one is the smallest number of students that we serve. October, November, December, if the health in our community requires that we back away, then we have the ability to do that. We could be in phase four, but we may have to go back to phase 2-3 or phase two or even phase one if health conditions warrant that. So we're ready to make those adjustments if necessary, Murray said. That's in conjunction with our health department, listening to their guidance and understanding what's happening, talking to the hospitals, understanding what's happening there. He said they haven't received guidance yet on the flu. We're aware that the new flu test is going to include a test for COVID-19 as well as the flu. We have been alerted to that. Typically, those are adults in our community that have that kind of test, but we are aware that will be available during the flu season. The doctor will know the type of flu and or if it's COVID, Murray said. Asked about complaints on social media from teachers about going back to work Wednesday, Murray said he hadn't personally heard any complaints from teachers. We have 4,200 employees, and I know that today is a challenging day for all of us. Just the fact that we're wearing these tools, masks and face shields in the learning environment, and I've seen some uncomfortable teachers, and we've already been thinking how we can make these scenarios more effective. Are there other options for our employees? Murray said. We know that some employees have pre-existing conditions, and school may be a scary place for them. Our human resources department has worked with quite a few individual employees. We made allowances for folks that have pre-existing conditions that may be nervous or afraid because of their own health situation. But again, what I'm hearing today is a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, he added. Another photo, ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray gives an interview to the media outside of Edward K. Downing Elementary during the first day of school in Ector County on Wednesday morning. Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Doctors Talk Precautions by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan said that as positive COVID-19 cases decline in Ector County, what we don't want to do is go back on the things that helped us get to this point. He spoke about social distancing and the mask mandate during Wednesday's virtual hospital briefing and said, we need to stick with what we are doing, especially with schools starting right now, especially with the flu season possibly coming up later up in the fall. In the last week, three ECISD educators reportedly tested positive with COVID-19, and Sarvanan said that as schools reopen, they are expecting more cases but are hoping for a better response because of the precautions we are taking. We have seen enough studies that show even young kids can spread the disease quite a bit, which is why the number of kids going back to school can raise the number of educators getting sick, so it is expected. But we're hoping for a better response with all the precautions that they'll be able to take. And remember, it's not a full-fledged reopening of schools. It's staged. It's very calculated. It's very prepared, he said. With testing reportedly being lowered around the state, neither Medical Center Hospital nor ORMC officials said that they have slowed down their testing. Medical Center Hospital detailed in a 2 p.m. Wednesday press release that out of 1,204 positives, 28 COVID-19 patients are in the hospital, with 15 on the 8th central isolation floor and 13 in the critical care unit. 8 of those patients are reportedly on ventilators. Of the 28 in-house patients, 1 is from Andrews, 2 are from Pecos, 1 is from Fort Stockton, 3 are from Deering's Nursing Home, and 1 is from Seagraves. 39 patients reportedly have pending test results. ORMC President Stacy Brown detailed that out of 2,177 tests, 358 people have tested positive, 17 tests are pending, and 6 patients are in the hospital on the ICU, with 3 of them on ventilators. 4 of those patients are from Ector County, she said, and 1 patient is from Big Spring, while another is from Andrews. We're testing on average about 50 patients a day, and that's been the trend we've had for the last several weeks. We're actually testing more patients as they come into the hospital for procedures, Brown added. No one from the Ector County Health Department or county was present during the hospital briefing, but at around 5:50 p.m., the ECHD website was updated. The ECHD website detailed that out of the 3,670 total positive Ector County cases, 2,488 are confirmed positives, 1,182 are probable positives, and 733 cases are listed as active. The website also detailed that while 57 Ector County residents have died from their COVID-19-related complications, 2,880 COVID-19 patients have reportedly recovered. Trustees hear broadband report. OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County ISD is leading work on a plan to bring broadband internet access to all students and families throughout the county. Superintendent Scott Murray and Chief Technology Officer Kelly Wilkes presented the broad outlines of the issue and choices to tackle it at Tuesday's board work session. Murray said options would be brought back at the end of September. ECISD received a challenge grant from the Chiefs for Change organization and the Education Foundation of Odessa to fund broadband internet access for local families this summer. The grant funds access for families through June 30, 2021. MiFi, which Murray said relies on cell service, is on order that will be loaned to families that don't live in broadband service areas, Murray said. One parking lot at each school has an external Wi-Fi antenna for connectivity to the ECISD network and the EISD Bring Your Own Device network. We have a crisis in our community. When transitioning to remote learning, we knew some of our kids were going to struggle because they didn't have appropriate internet access at home, Murray said. The more the district looked, the worse they found the situation. We engaged in some high-level conversations with some leaders in the community and discovered it's a community-wide issue, Murray said. ECISD began to work with consultants with expertise in this area, and they are conducting a deeper study. Murray said 39% of families have limited or no internet access. He said working toward internet for everyone is the right thing to do. Murray added that families of poverty often pay the most for the fewest choices and the poorest service. He added that infrastructure is why areas like South and West Odessa aren't served. Cable companies can provide high-speed broadband. If we live in the South, West, or some other remote areas, selections for broadband are very limited, Murray said. The business model is it's not as cost-effective for companies to provide service in remote areas where there are few people. Registration Roadshow was held recently to help get students signed up for school. It was aimed at families without internet access. The district visited 10 sites around Ector County in 5 days. Some 2,600 families were seen, and most did not have internet access at home, so they had to visit their child's school or find someplace that did. For some families, Murray said, a cell phone was their only access to the world. A cross-section of community leaders were brought into the study and agreed internet access for everyone should be a priority project for Ector County, the board recap said. Research shows many gaps in local coverage. The most rural areas typically have the slowest and least reliable internet options, the recap said. The district's goal is for all residents to have affordable access to speeds of 100 megabits per second downloads and 10 megabit per second uploads, the recap stated. The board viewed maps of cell phone towers, data of coverage areas, and learned that 1 in 5 ECISD students rarely or never has reliable internet access at home. Murray said a panel of national connectivity experts is working with ECISD to study the situation and help find a long-term solution for Odessa and Ector County. On a separate item, the board approved an interlocal agreement with Region 4 for Operation Connectivity. The cooperative arrangement gives ECISD the ability to purchase devices for about half of the regular price. The district will order 5,825 iPads, 6,507 Chromebooks, and 1,000 MiFi devices for about $1.8 million. The regular prices for the same purchases would be closer to $4 million, the recap said. Trustees also heard an update on school opening plans. Schools started Wednesday with fewer, but more teachers this year. School opening will be phased in, with the first phase starting today. Most students will be learning virtually, except three-year-olds, those without internet access at home, children of Ector County ISD employees, and students identified as special education students. Scott Murray said the special ed students make up about 8% of the district's 34,000 students. The ones coming back to school today do not include those with dyslexia, for example. Murray said 2,851 students registered to ride the bus, which is about half the normal number. Some 407 teachers have been hired, leaving 91 elementary vacancies and 31 secondary spots open. This is a change from the 350 teachers the district was short last year. Murray offered kudos to the district's human resources team, principals for retaining their employees, and the trustees for valuing the employees. There isn't any one factor that contributed to this, Murray said. There are multiple factors. Even the current economy, people not moving or transitioning to other careers, those numbers should be zero. However, Murray said this was remarkable progress from last year. Adults are required to wear masks and face shields to protect students. During the first 10 days of school, Murray said ECISD will monitor enrollment, attendance, staffing, school nutrition, transportation, technology calls, and general feedback to work toward continuous improvement, so that Thursday is better than Wednesday, and so forth. Murray said those data elements will be collected and reviewed when top-level district officials meet at the end of every day for the first 10 days of school. Assistant Superintendent of Student and School Support, Alicia Siverson, said she is working with Ector County Success Prep Academy on its plans for reopening. They have elected to start September 9th. Siverson said officials are very confident their plan will mirror ECISD's. The school is a charter school that is still part of the district. They're included in everything that we have done with our other campuses, Siverson said. She added that they have an open invitation to participate in teacher training, and they have been included in device orders. Murray said teachers will report to campuses today, but some will be teaching virtually and others face-to-face. He said ECISD could potentially see 7,000 students in grades pre-kindergarten through 12th today. Murray noted that thousands of students haven't yet registered. To be on campus, you have to wear a mask. Masks are recommended for pre-kindergarten through 3rd grade students, but required for 4th through 12th graders unless they are eating or doing physical activity outside, Murray said. The exception would be medical, and Murray said the district is making individual arrangements for those children. In other business, the board approved plans for early childhood and college career and military readiness, approved submitting a waiver for 40% of campus hybrid instruction for 9th through 12th grade students if needed, approved a request to submit a waiver to the Texas Education Agency to exit the start of the 2020-21 school year beyond the four-week limit to be used only if needed, discussed plans to provide broadband access to Ector County residents in conjunction with other entities. On the net, tinyurl.com/TTFPX4G. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 3,670. Ector County negative, 16,689 out of 20,595 tested, with 236 pending, 57 deaths. Recovered, 2,880, active, 733. Midland County, 2,676 confirmed out of 13,362 tested, 49 deaths. Texas, 506,820 confirmed with 4,549,474 tested. Total Texas deaths, 9,034. U.S. cases, 5,354,842 total confirmed and 168,956 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Fan distribution. Beat the Heat drive-through fan distribution has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Friday at the Salvation Army, 810 East 11th Street. Proof of ID and proof of residence is required. Stay in your vehicle. Masks required. The van will be placed in your vehicle. First come, first serve, and limit one per household. For more information, call 332-0738. Summer concert. The Fort Stockton Chamber has scheduled a free summer concert featuring Two Country Four Nashville from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday at Zero Stone Park, 400 South Nelson Street, Fort Stockton. Bring lawn chairs. Social distancing will be implemented. Visit tinyurl.com/Y3OMALQ6. Drive-in opening night. Synergy Odessa will have a pop-up drive-in Friday and Saturday nights. Gates open at 8 p.m. Christmas Vacation is showing this weekend. Food and beverages can be ordered online and delivered to your vehicle. Tickets are on sale now at synergy.com. Additionally, the UFC World Heavyweight Fight will be shown at 9 p.m. Saturday night at the Synergy Entertainment Bar and Movie Theater. Tickets on sale for a reserved table at the bar or a reserved seat in a private auditorium. The trilogy ends here with MIOCIC versus CORMIER. Tickets are on sale at synergy.com. Benefit Car Show and Silent Auction. Airdrolics and the Hose Connection, 3341 Loop 338, has scheduled Don Gunn Benefit Car Show and Silent Auction from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. All vehicles welcome. Food and water will be provided. 100% of the proceeds will go to the Gunn family. For more information, call Trevor White at 413-9973 or Regan White at 638-5987. Closing prices, posted $39, futures $42.67, natural gas $2.152. Benchmark U.S. increased $1.06 to $42.67 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Hello, This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 13th, 2020. Page 2, read. Good news seeks new submissions. Has someone you know received an honor or an award? We want to know. Donations, milestones, retirement parties. The good news page is all that and more. Email details to oalife@oaoa.com or mail to 700 North Grant Avenue, Suite 800, Odessa, Texas 79761. Photos may be included. For more information, call 333-7775. Name in the news. President's List. Michaela Thames, granddaughter of Vicky Sisko of Odessa, has been named to the President's List with a perfect grade point average from the University of North Texas during the spring semester. Thames plans to graduate in December with a degree in criminal justice and a minor in rehabilitation studies. This Day in History. The Associated Press today is Thursday, August 13th, the 226th day of 2020. There are 140 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history. On August 13th, 1961, East Germany sealed off the border between Berlin's eastern and western sectors before building a wall that would divide the city for the next 28 years. On this date, in 1521, Spanish conqueror Hernando Cortes captured Tenochtitlan, present-day Mexico City, from the Aztecs. In 1704, the Battle of Blenheim was fought during the War of the Spanish Succession, resulting in a victory for English-led forces over French and Bavarian soldiers. In 1846, the American flag was raised in Los Angeles for the first time. In 1889, William Gray of Hartford, Connecticut, received a patent for a coin-operated telephone. In 1910, Florence Nightingale, the founder of modern nursing, died in London at age 90. In 1913, British metallurgist Harry Brearley developed an alloy that came to be known as stainless steel, although Brearley is often credited as the inventor of stainless steel. He was hardly alone in working to create steel that resisted corrosion. In 1932, Adolf Hitler rejected the post of Vice Chancellor of Germany, saying he was prepared to hold out for all or nothing. In 1967, the crime caper biopic, Bonnie and Clyde, starring Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, had its U.S. premiere. The movie, directed by Arthur Penn, was considered shocking as well as innovative for its graphic portrayal of violence. In 1989, searchers in Ethiopia found the wreckage of a plane that had disappeared almost a week earlier while carrying Representative Mickey Leland, D, Texas, and 14 other people. There were no survivors. Permian Basin weather, 5-day Odessa and Midland forecast. CBS 7, your eye on West Texas. Weather information brought to you by Craig Stewart, Tom Tiefertiller. Thursday, mostly sunny with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour, high 105, low 77. Friday, mostly sunny with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour, high 106, low 79. Saturday, mostly sunny with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour, high 103, low 76. Sunday, partly cloudy, high 100, low 74. Monday, mostly sunny, high 95, low 71. New Mexico outlook, Hobbs, mostly sunny, high 103, low 73. Ruidoso, mostly sunny, high 88, low 62. Fact, it's estimated there are 2,000 to 6,000 human fatalities that occur each year as a result of a lightning strike. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 13th, 2020, page A8, local news. OFR receives CARES CRF funds by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. The Odessa City Council approved multiple agenda items during Tuesday night's virtual council meeting, including purchases for Odessa Fire Rescue. The four different approved purchases were reportedly made to help OFR combat COVID-19, which includes uniforms for OFR personnel with the CARES CARES CRF funds for $43,902, Gladscope Pros with CARES CRF funds for $61,948, one ZOLL cardiac monitor defibrillator with CARES CRF funds for $38,327, and nine automatic CPR devices with CARES CRF funds for $170,777. OFR Assistant Chief EMS Rod Huber said during the meeting that, "We have had an issue with our firefighters and paramedics having to wash their uniforms 2 to 3 to 4 times a shift after transporting COVID-positive patients or suspicious patients." He added that the extra 2 shirts and 2 pairs of pants would help personnel to keep clean. Huber also said that while the CPR devices will help allow social distancing while providing care for patients, the ZOLL cardiac monitor defibrillator would help treat COVID-19 patients, and it is compatible with local hospitals. The meeting started with multiple presentations, including Mayor David Turner thanking a few of the women who were part of the Telecommunicator Team of the Year from Odessa's Public Safety Communications Department for their work on August 31st, 2019. The presentations also included a mobile COVID-19 testing update from Dr. Diana Ruiz and Dr. Minerva Gonzalez. Gonzalez said that out of a total tested 1,596 patients, 479 came back positive, with 52% being female, 48% being male, 83% of those who tested positive were Hispanic, and 17% were not Hispanic, she said. Ruiz said that they are under budget from the testing and that the most difficult part of the completed phase 1 testing was being able to reach testing participants because of unreliable contact information. She added that for phase 2 and fall testings, they would look to a more efficient process. Odessa Arts Executive Director Brandy Hamm also gave an update regarding the August 31st anniversary and memorial. During the meeting, Council also awarded a contract with Civic Plus for website development and a mass notification system for $345,954. At the end of the meeting, Council appointed Sheila Perry to the Historic Preservation Commission. In other news, consent agenda. Approved calling the 2020 general municipal election for November 3rd, 2020. Ordinance, second and final approval. Amended Article 3 through 12, Flood Damage Prevention in the City Code of Ordinances. Ordinance, second and final approval. Approved the 2020-2021 budget of $900,996 for the Emergency Communication District of Ector County. Resolution. Approved authorization to use electronic signature on TxDOT traffic safety grants. Resolution. Authorized the City of Odessa Police Department to apply for and accept amending the fiscal budget to appropriate awarded funds as additional revenue and authorizing the expenditure of awarded grant funds from the 2020 BJA Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant Program, JAG, for $65,370. Resolution. Approved interlocal agreement with Ector County for the division of the 2020 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, JAG, funds. Resolution. Approved a resolution appointing the Capital Improvements Advisory Committee and adopting the committee's procedural rules resolution. Approved bid award to Neil Poole for impound services. Other council action. Approved Ector County Elections Administrator contract for the general municipal election, November 3rd, 2020. Resolution. Approved of the City of Odessa's 2020 Action Plan and the 2020 through 2024 Consolidated Plan. Approved of the City of Odessa's amendment to the 2019 Action Plan. Appointment of boards. Adjourned. Sales tax down. OA News at OAOA.com. A press release from the City of Odessa detailed that they received an $4,482,053.91 August sales tax check, which includes the economic sales tax of 1/4 cent. The city will reportedly receive $3,585,643.13, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $896,410.78. Medical Center Hospital detailed in a press release that they will receive $3,102,488 on Friday for June. That is 26.9% below the same period last year. They have received $40,305,855 fiscal year to date, and that is reportedly $10,006,285, or 19.9% below last year. The city saw a decrease in sales tax revenue, with August sales tax revenue total of $3,585,643.13, which reflects a $1,700,979.74, or 32.18%, as compared to August 2019. The release detailed that the year-to-date total sales tax revenue for fiscal year 2019-20 is up 20.39%, or $7,654,231.90, as compared to budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. The 2019-20 year-to-date amount is below the YTD amount by 16.86%, or $9,167,317.54, and the city has reportedly budgeted $41,100,000 in net sales tax revenues for the current fiscal year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection. August's collection is based on June sales. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 13th, 2020, page 4A, Opinion. Texas View. Congress must make sure there's time for census. The Point. The Bureau says it will attempt to do in 6 weeks what it already has said couldn't be accomplished in 10 weeks. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution doesn't show up on a lot of t-shirts or tattoos, but that doesn't make it any less a part of the law of the land. The so-called Enumeration Clause requires a census of all persons within the U.S. borders to be taken every 10 years to determine the reapportionment of seats in the U.S. House of Representatives and the number of Electoral College votes the state can cast. The count also decides how billions of dollars in federal funding will be sent to the states over the next decade. For Texas, the 2020 count could mean the difference between having 38 or 39 representatives pleading our case in the U.S. House, whether we have 40 or 41 votes in presidential elections, and determine Texas' share of $1.5 trillion annually in federal spending distributed by congressional districts. In addition, the census informs how business leaders, researchers, historians, and many others make judgments, everything from healthcare facilities to bus routes and grocery stores. They need good numbers to make good decisions. So, while you don't hear a lot of people shouting for their Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 rights at rallies and protests, enforcement of this section of the law will determine the proper allocation of political power and substantial financial resources until after 2030. That's why it's crucial that Congress and the courts stand up to the Trump administration's latest attempt to short-circuit the census, this time by cutting off the count a month earlier than planned. The U.S. Census Bureau announced last Monday that it would shut down the counting process at the end of September instead of October 31st in order to get the numbers to the White House by the end of the year. Facing delays and obstacles created by the novel coronavirus pandemic, the Census Bureau had earlier asked Congress, which determines how the census is conducted, to move the deadline for delivery to the president to April 2021. Officials said they could not produce an accurate count without an extension. The Democrat-controlled House voted to move the deadline, but the Republican-majority Senate has failed to act. Now the Bureau says it will attempt to do in 6 weeks what it already has said couldn't be accomplished in 10 weeks. That task is to find and count those who have not responded by mail or the internet, nearly 4 of every 10 households, a population that typically includes those living in poorer and minority communities and undocumented immigrants. The Trump administration has already tried twice to keep those immigrants out of the count, first by attempting to insert a citizenship question into the census, and more recently with a Trump memorandum directing Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross to exclude undocumented immigrants from the apportionment base, the population that's used to determine the number of House seats a state gets in Congress. The first effort was thwarted by the courts, and the latest could be decided there as well. The issue is especially important in Texas, where an estimated 6% of the population, 1.7 million people, are undocumented immigrants. An analysis by the Pew Research Center found that eliminating them from the count could be the difference between Texas gaining 2 House seats or 3, and all that comes with that. These immigrants work, pay taxes, and contribute to the community. They should be counted. Everyone should. That's not just a good idea, it's the law. The Constitution requires actual enumeration, which means an exact or real count of all persons. Congress has wide discretion in determining the means and methodology of getting that done. Over 230 years, the guidance has been to make the count as accurate as humanly possible and include everyone, not just citizens. The obvious solution for the current problem is for the Senate to approve the deadline extension and give the Census Bureau the time it needs to overcome the challenges the pandemic has created. They can do so in the next COVID-19 package. The administration needs to stop meddling and let the Bureau finish this incredibly important task. We may not see Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 stitched in tapestries hung over the hearth, but it's the law of the land, right there in the Constitution. Houston Chronicle. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 13th, 2020. Obituary and death notices. Obituary. Helen Davis Sweet, Gatesville, May 22, 1918 to August 8, 2020. Helen Davis Sweet, age 102, of Gatesville, passed away on the afternoon of August 8, 2020. The family will have a service 2 p.m. Tuesday, August 11, 2020, at Scott's Funeral Home, with Pastor David Booth officiating. Burial will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, August 13, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa, Texas. Helen was born on May 22, 1918, in Ranger, Texas, to the late T.R. and Cora Davis. She moved with her family to the panhandle of Texas at an early age. Helen attended school in Hart and was the oldest of four children. She worked on the family farm from a young age till graduating from Hart High School. She married Louis Greensweet on January 29, 1937, in Plainview. Louis was employed by El Paso Natural Gas Company, which led the family to move various times around West Texas and New Mexico. No matter where they moved, Helen was sure to make each house a home and was an excellent cook. She was an avid reader, reading books continually, even at the age of 102. She received her solo pilot's license in 1946 and was a member of the Order of the Eastern Star in Jal, New Mexico. Helen loved the outdoors and was traveling the United States with Louis. After 102 years on this earth, Helen knew lots of people who loved and cherished her dearly. She was a member of Pearl Baptist Church and former member of Sherwood Baptist Church in Odessa. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband of 58 years, Louis G. Sweet, brothers Bob and Doyle Davis, son Terry Sweet. Helen is survived by her daughters, Gail Logan and husband Billy, Linda Nunez and husband R.V. of Huntsville, son Kim Sweet and wife Gail of Odessa, sister Peggy Clay of Narivasa, New Mexico, numerous grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and cousins. Death Notices. Judith Elaine Hathaway, Odessa. Judith Elaine Hathaway, 81, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 8, 2020, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m., Tuesday, August 18, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Elaine Wofford, Odessa. Elaine Wofford, 69, died Wednesday, August 12, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Possible cause for ED. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm 21 years old, and I have had trouble getting and maintaining erections since 2017. I don't smoke or drink alcohol. What might be the possible cause? IA. Answer. Erectile dysfunction is a common problem in older men, but it's very uncommon in teenagers and young adults. There are four major systems involved in erectile function. The heart and blood vessels need to be adequate, and while this is frequently a problem for older men with blockages, it would be rare but not impossible for a man your age. The nerves to the penis need to be intact, and nerve damage from trauma could occasionally cause this problem. You would have known about a nerve problem after the trauma began. Although it's rare, I have had dedicated bicyclists note decreased erections after spending all day on the bike. The hormones of the body need to be in balance. Low testosterone is a big issue and you should be checked, but high estrogens and prolactin also can cause ED. Your doctor should consider testing all of these hormone levels. I'm glad you don't smoke, but heavy cannabis use can lower testosterone enough to cause ED, even in young men. Finally, the brain is called the primary sex organ in humans for good reason. Psychological or relationship issues can certainly cause difficulty with erections. Most 21-year-olds are transitioning from their pediatrician or adolescent medicine specialist to an adult medicine doctor, but any general doctor should be able to evaluate what might be going on. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, older boyfriend considers meeting in person too risky. Dear Abby, I have a dilemma. My 33-year-old boyfriend keeps badgering me to see each other. We live 15 miles apart. I'm a 60-year-old man in pretty good health. Before this pandemic, I worked out every day at a gym, and I still do at home now. Every day he keeps asking me to either come visit or, if he can, come by. Because of this shelter-in-place advisory, I have been telling him I'm more at risk due to my age. He then tries to make me feel guilty by saying things like, "We are both fine, there's no need to worry," and, "Okay, fine, that's the last time I'm going to ask. See you next month, maybe." The thing is, he's a nurse in a hospital. I live with two roommates who are also in their 60s, and I don't want to compromise them or my living situation. Am I doing the right thing? What are the risks if I decide to go for a visit and be with him? Uneasy in the West. Dear Uneasy, you are doing the intelligent thing. What your boyfriend is proposing is risky, because you don't want to possibly risk exposing your roommates to COVID-19. You cannot travel back and forth. In my opinion, your boyfriend has a moral and ethical responsibility not to put you at risk. Here in Los Angeles, some hospital employees who live in multi-generational households have arranged to live apart from their loved ones during the crisis to prevent possibly exposing their families to the virus, an arrangement that is, some cases, lasts for months. If your boyfriend was concerned about your welfare, he would not be trying to guilt or threaten you into seeing him. If you agree to visit him and plan to continue, find an apartment in which you live alone and do not visit your roommates unless you have first been tested and quarantined. Dear Abby, my 50-year-old estranged daughter-in-law was abused by her father growing up, and her father defends the abuser, which upsets her to no end. I'm friendly with her father because he has been nice to me, and this revelation was new to me. My daughter-in-law sent an email to me and others saying how hurt she is. I would like to respond, but since I'm friendly with her father, I'm not sure what to say. I want to tell her I am deeply sorry for her having been abused, because it is extremely traumatic. Do you have any advice for me? I love my son and his family, and I don't understand how things got this way between us. They no longer speak to me or let me or my wife have a relationship with my grandchildren, whom we love very much. Hurt father-in-law in Texas. Dear Hurt, it is not surprising that your son and daughter-in-law are now estranged from you and don't want you around their children. Things got this way because you placed as high a priority on your friendship with the father who defends her abuser as you did on your relationship with your daughter-in-law. While you understand that what happened to her was traumatic, you seem unable to grasp just how painful it has been for her. By siding with the wrong person because he was nice to you, you have intensified her trauma.
Jackal and Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degrees your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Leo and a moon in Gemini. Happy birthday for Thursday, August 13, 2020. Spirited and courageous. You have a highly unique perspective and personality, and you can get help at the most unexpected moments. This year proves to be made of many such moments, and you ultimately succeed. If single, you search for the ideal partner and decide to keep searching. Next year, you get lucky. If attached, you seem to be bound together forever, and happily so. Scorpio is very loyal and protective of you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 3 stars. Today places you in the role of peacemaker. Help others if you can, but pull away from those who are too needy. A casual conversation or unexpected message offers valuable information. Past confusion gives way to understanding. Tonight, time to yourself. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. You're very progressive in analyzing new economic trends. Today, investment clubs and other group activities can help you with financial planning. This is a wonderful time to separate the promising from the outmoded with regard to the source of your income. Tonight, relax. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Your adaptability allows you to act with aplomb. Today, especially, accents personal responsibility and the need for self-awareness. Be aware of habits and take care to look your best. Visit old friends and familiar haunts. Tonight, celebrate being able to go out and about again. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Time spent in quiet reflection today awakens your spiritual perceptions. Try visualization and dream analysis. Let your personal worries just float away. Your compassion for those less fortunate reaches a deeper level now. Tonight, do some private journaling. You'll feel refreshed. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Today ushers in helpful people. Friends make plans for you, and you could become more involved in politics or an organization. Travel plans are likely. You will have a deepening awareness of your own potential. A new talent is emerging. Tonight, hone your aptitudes. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 2 stars. A challenging square aspect pattern is in force. Work hard and be patient. Visualize where you want to go with your life. Protect your professional credibility by doing the very best you can. Then just release the situations. Tonight, a soothing herbal bath. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 2 stars. Today is an excellent cycle for travel or study. Put ideas into action. Tolerance and good manners are essential for dealing with coworkers. There might be some awkward aspects and challenges in your work. Tonight, expect a power shift. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 2 stars. Listen to what the universe is trying to tell you. Accept the financial situation graciously. Synchronicity is at work. Old cycles are ending, and new options are available. A decision can be made about a relationship or career plans. Tonight, dinner with family. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 3 stars. Today emphasizes partnership. You'll experience strong feelings and attractions, and want to seek a creative or spiritual companion. But use caution in making promises, and select closest associates with care. Tonight, connect with your oldest friends who you really trust. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 3 stars. Be alert to the needs of beloved pets and household members. They will be especially sensitive and emotional. It is a marvelous cycle for travel and decision-making. Companions surprise you with progressive plans. Tonight, draw down the moon's energy to benefit your health. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 4 stars. Your charisma is at a peak, and interesting new prospects are attracted to you. Today sets the stage for a genuine romantic drama. By tonight, the fireworks will have cleared and a stabilizing influence sets in. Tonight, a great big sigh of relief. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 5 stars. Quiet contemplation helps you find contentment today. It is a perfect cycle for redecorating projects in your home. Honor your childhood memories and heritage. Your desire to learn leads you to worthwhile discoveries. Tonight, a nice, quiet evening at home is perfect. Born today, sharpshooter Annie Oakley, 1860, director Alfred Hitchcock, 1899, soprano Kathleen Battle, 1948.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.